lives. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you gave for us. We look forward to our celebration around Easter time to celebrate your life and your death and resurrection. So Jesus, thank you for that great example of what love is. It's in your name we pray, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. As it was mentioned earlier, many people are not feeling well, and I am one of those this morning. I woke up with a pretty dry throat, and I'm feeling a bit faint, but the Lord is good, so everything will work out this morning. As a church, we've been going through 1 Corinthians as of late, and we've been learning about the instruction Paul wrote to them, but seeing how it applies to us today. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim spoke about sexual immorality from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He pointed out how God has determined and informed us regarding the proper sexual use of our bodies, and that some actions destroy who we are. He also mentioned how our bodies have been united with the experience and person of Jesus. And lastly, he mentioned that our bodies have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and Tim mentioned the implications this has regarding sexual sin. So that's where we were 2 weeks ago. If you were here with us last week, we had a guest speaker from World Concern. That was a great message that he shared about the organization and challenging us. And next week, I believe Pastor Tim will be focusing on the points made by Paul regarding married life that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So this morning, I felt led to bridge the gap between the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7 by speaking about relationships in a broader sense. To be honest, most of the points we'll be covering are actually from a Bible study I did with the high school youth group a couple months ago. But I found it fitting to bring these points that we discussed to you this morning. The study is called Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships, and it's by a man named Chip Ingram. He's the founder and teaching pastor of Living on the Edge, which is an international discipleship ministry, and he's the senior pastor of Venture Church in California. I emailed Chip's ministry a couple weeks ago asking him if it'd be okay for me to use this material in my message this morning, and they sent this in reply. We are honored that you would use this teaching in your church. We do ask that you do credit Living on the Edge and Chip Ingram. So with that said, let the record show the credit has been given. So what we're going to look at this morning is a comparison between Hollywood's formula for lasting relationships and a formula that is built on God's word, or in other words, God's formula for lasting relationships. Our study from 1 Corinthians will be halted again this morning, as we'll look mainly at a passage from Ephesians. But before we jump into Ephesians, I'd like to highlight for you the formula for lasting relationships that Hollywood has been delivering to us all these years. So the first step in Hollywood's formula for lasting relationships is to find the right person. We're all supposed to work hard to search out and find that right person who is best suited for us and best matches well with us. We do this by checking out those around us. We see if maybe this person is the right one or maybe that person over there. We do this by using social media as a way to look into people's lives in order to find out if we like who they appear to be and to see if we've found the right person through that form of media. And Hollywood feeds our desire to be in relationships by telling and showing us that we need to spend a lot of time in search mode. Because the risk of not doing this means you'll never get to be in love if you're not finding the right person. Think about all the shows and movies where the characters go from one relationship to the next, hoping that they'll find that right person and land with that right person. I believe our consumer society has helped feed this mentality. We live in a country where you can have whatever you want, whenever you want it. We're constantly consuming what we're told that we need. Therefore, we're always in search mode for the next big deal or sale because we don't want to miss out. This then feeds into our relationships. As long as you keep looking and shopping around, you'll eventually land with the right person. It's all about finding them. So our culture says that your relationships will keep failing if you don't find the right person. So you better go, go, go. Keep searching for Mr. or Mrs. Right, because it's important that you find them before somebody else does. And the second step in Hollywood's formula, after you find the right person, is to fall in love. You finally believe you found Mr. or Mrs. Right. So when you follow this model, you can now fall in love with that person. This feeling of falling in love would be emotionally based and driven by our desire to be really close with them and to even desire to be intimate with them. In this second step, we can now let our guard down and let the emotional aspect of our being take control. I mean, why not? You found the right person after all, right? At least you think you have. So after we find the right person and fall in love, the third step in Hollywood's formula follows closely behind. It's this: fix your hopes and dreams on this person for your future fulfillment. And I think this is part of our falling in love formula. As you fall in love, your identity and hopes and desires become fixated in this other person. Now, this is a very dangerous road to take for our various relationships. It can be really easy for us, any one of us, to find ourselves fixing our hopes and dreams in someone in order to feel fulfilled in our lives. It may feel good temporarily, but these steps are unhealthy, as people will fail us, people will let us down, people will abuse the relationship. I was thinking about showing a music video this morning as a visual example of Hollywood's formula, but ironically, I couldn't find the perfect match. However, next time you're watching a music video, a movie, a TV show, you're listening to music, I'd encourage you to pay specific attention to what is being portrayed through the media and how it fits into this paradigm of finding the right person, falling in love with that person, and then fixing your hopes and dreams on that person. So in the fourth and last step in Hollywood's formula is this: if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. So this is the cycle we're fed from Hollywood. And our entire culture is shaped around this broken system. You find that right person, you fall in love with them, and then you fix your hopes and dreams on that person for your future fulfillment. And what they don't want to tell you, though, and what they won't show you, is the pain, fallout, and damage that occurs when this formula is lived relationship after relationship. Many of us here today have probably experienced these hurtful outcomes due to either living Hollywood's formula for some of or all of our lives, or having seen them in those close to us. One of the great things about the Bible is that it teaches us everything we need to know about how to live relationships the right way. As you read through it, it warns us against things like sexual immorality, impurity, unholy living, things that will damage ourselves but also hurt others. It also teaches us about what Christ did for us, as well as the power the Holy Spirit has when he indwells our lives. It's filled with instructions that teach about a better way to live. And one of these very instructions is found in the book of Ephesians. So I'd like you to all turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you haven't already, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians falls after 1 and 2 Corinthians, where we've been looking. Then you have Galatians, then falls Ephesians. And as you turn there, a quick Bible note for you, if you've ever wondered why Paul's letters are ordered the way they are, because they're not in chronological order of when he wrote them. My understanding is that they're listed longest to shortest, first starting with his letters to the churches, then his letters to individuals. And so with that said, we'll pick up Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There are two commands given to us in this passage. The first says, be imitators of God. And the second command is, live a life of love. In these two verses, we see two commands that show us a way to approach relationships from a healthy standpoint. These commands are followed with descriptions of how they're accomplished. Paul says we imitate God as dearly loved children, and we live a life of love just as Christ loved us by giving himself up for us. So this simple passage helps us see that a better way of doing relationships is rooted in imitating God and walking in love. We'll unpack what this looks like practically in our lives in the next few moments. But before we do that, I'd like to share with you a description of love that I learned through this study I did with the youth group. Love is typically defined as an action more than a feeling. I think we know that. It's something you express to those around you. So the definition of love that Chip quotes in this study is this. Love is choosing to give someone what they need the most when they deserve it the least at great personal cost. Love is choosing to give someone what they need the most when they deserve it the least at great personal cost. That's a great picture of what Christ did for us, isn't it? He offered himself as an offering on our behalf. Paul mentions this here in Ephesians. Jesus gave himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. And to match what Jesus did for us using this definition of love, it would look something like this. You and I need this perfect sacrifice the most due to our fallen sinful nature. However, we definitely do not deserve the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. And Jesus' willing sacrifice was definitely at a great personal cost to himself. And this is the level of love that we're supposed to be imitating. We all know and understand the grace offered to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. But what can be forgotten at times, I believe, is what this free gift of grace offers. The book of Titus, towards the end of the New Testament, says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So remembering back to what Tim talked about 2 weeks ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he mentioned the importance of our fleeing away from sexual immorality. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us to a better way to live, a way that consists of being a slave to righteousness. And as slaves to righteousness, God has a better formula for doing relationships the right way. You could say it's God's prescription. And this prescription starts with imitating God. In contrast with the four steps in Hollywood's formula, let's look at the four steps we would find in a biblical approach to lasting relationships. The first step in God's prescription for lasting relationships is to become the right person. Ephesians 5 says, "Be imitators of God." God is the standard of how we become the right people. We do what Jesus did. We surrender the control of our lives over to the Holy Spirit. You see, when we spend our energy and time finding the right people, we never spend enough time becoming the right people. We always want our friends, our family, significant others to have certain qualities, right? Humility, honesty, kindness, patience, things like that. I think we like to find these qualities in others. However, it's important that we become the right person who possesses the qualities we want to see in others. We need to focus our energy on becoming the right people, people who imitate God instead of finding the right people. Part of becoming the right person is to listen to God's word. In the coming weeks, there'll be challenges that stick out to each one of us as we look at how Paul challenged the Corinthian church to learn about a better way to live. Even though 1 Corinthians was written so long ago, it has such an impact on today's society and on today's church. Like the Corinthian church, we too are influenced heavily by the culture we live in. Plus, most of the questions and problems the Corinthian church was facing are things we still face today. Problems like immaturity, instability, divisions, jealousy, envies, lawsuits, marital difficulties, sexual immorality, the misuse of spiritual gifts, or the lack of use of spiritual gifts due to fear. And these issues will wreak havoc on our relationships with one another, but can be curbed if we allow the Holy Spirit to cause a spirit of imitation in our spirit. And we get that spirit of imitation after Christ as he's built within us. That way, what we feel happening in our spirit becomes our actions and it becomes our reality. So that's the first step in a biblical prescription, becoming the right person through imitating God. The second step we need to follow for healthy and lasting relationships is to walk in love instead of falling in love. We walk in love instead of falling in love, and we see the commands to walk in love throughout Scripture. Jesus demonstrated this perfectly for us, didn't he? He shows us how to walk in love by ultimately laying down his life for us. We walk in love by choosing to give someone what he or she needs the most, when they deserve it the least, and at great personal cost. Think through the different relationships you have. A spouse, girlfriend or boyfriend, co-workers, casual friends. How can you walk in love with these people? What areas do you need to improve so you can be the right person who is able to walk in love? The third step in a biblical approach to lasting relationships is to fix your hope on God and seek to please him through the relationship. Hollywood wants to teach us to put all our hope in the person we have the relationship with. The culture around us tries to tell us that our identity and our worth can be found and supported within the other person. However, we know that people will fail us. People will let us down. People don't have the capacity to fulfill our deepest desires and needs. And we know that God is the only giver and sustainer of life. Therefore, our hope must rest in him, and we must seek to please him through our relationships. And it's only through our continued hope on God that our relationships can deepen and be the most fruitful and nourishing. Now, using a triangle as an example can be helpful if you're a visual learner. Picture yourself on one side of the triangle and the other person in the relationship on the other. As you see there, God is at the top. And as both people in the relationship move closer to God, deeper in God, you'll notice that the two people become closer together. And as you seek to please him and move closer in him, you'll move closer with the person that you have the relationship with. And this is the blessing that can be found in fixing your hope on God and no one else. So the biblical approach to lasting relationships consists of becoming the right person, walking in love, and fixing our hope on God and seeking to please him through our relationships. That looks dramatically different from Hollywood's formula. The only similarity between the two is the last step. If failure occurs, repeat step 1, 2, and 3. If we decide to pursue relationships differently and stop focusing on the Hollywood formula, we'll find so much more reward in our relationships. Plus, think about the legacy you'll be leaving for your kids and your grandkids as they get to watch you be an imitator of God, and as they get to watch you fix your hopes, desires on God. What a great gift it would be for the future generations if we all did that. We have an overwhelming yet awesome privilege of showing the younger generations how to do relationships in a much healthier, holistic way that doesn't contain the false hopes and promises on Hollywood's formula. And that's exactly what Michael was praying for earlier, wasn't it? When he prayed for the kids before they left, that we would be good examples in their lives. Lastly this morning, I'd like to look at what the two prescriptions would look like if we approach them from the different qualities that make us who we are. What I mean is looking at them in regards to our spiritual, social, psychological, emotional, and physical selves. The first chart you see here on the slides represents Hollywood's formula. I hope you can see it. On my computer, it's really big, so I hope it's big enough for you. So this is Hollywood's formula. And you'll notice that this formula starts with the base of the triangle. in the physical nature of who we are. Think about how many movies, shows, and magazines portray couples getting together and being very physical before they actually know the other person. Hollywood's formula is filled with many one-night stands and hooking up, as it all starts with that physical aspect of the relationship. Hollywood seems to think that one of the best ways to finding the right person is to see if there's chemistry in the bedroom. And next you see is the emotional aspect. After being physical, there's the sense of falling in love based on the emotional drive in who we are. And then after that emotional drive comes the physical, or the psychological, followed by the social. Then lastly, if you make it this far with somebody, you get to the spiritual nature of who they are. So Hollywood's prescription for lasting relationships is built on and driven by our physical and emotional desires. But as you can see, there isn't much for the relationship to be built on with this approach, as the base is pretty small. And I need to confess that I was pursuing relationships this way for many years. I thank God that I never did have sex before I was married, but to be honest, Hollywood's formula was all I knew. I grew up being fed this formula from society, our culture, various media. After one of my dating relationships fell apart, I realized that what I was doing wasn't working. It wasn't healthy, and looking back, it must not have been very pleasing to God, as these relationships would become so important to me, I would try to find my identity, my self-worth, through these various relationships. So after I took this part-time position here at the church, I decided to do things differently in my life. I decided that I'd no longer try to seek out and find this other person for me. I recognized that my relationship with God needed to be more important. And I didn't know it at the time, but what Chip's Bible study has helped me realize is how I switched from pursuing Hollywood's formula and started approaching relationships more biblically. And I'm so glad I made those choices when I did. And I'm sure my wife is grateful too, as we can experience a more blessed relationship and blessed reward found in God together. So with that said, if we compare the Hollywood chart with a chart based on a biblical formula, we get this second chart that you see here. And as you notice, it's the complete opposite. To pursue relationships according to biblical standards, we flip Hollywood's chart completely over. This means that the very first thing we need to develop in our lives, as well as in our relationships with others, is our spiritual self. The base and groundwork must be sustained through and by our relationship with God. Looking back at Pastor Tim's last point 2 weeks ago, was that our bodies have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And this is referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And since we have this Spirit living within us, we must continue to pursue relationships with Him. So after a solid groundwork is laid in our spiritual life, then we can begin to relate to others on a social level. It allows us to have healthy interactions that are free from sexual immorality, impurity, and unholy living. Because through God's grace, we say no to starting and sustaining relationships according to Hollywood. Then after healthy social interactions, we move on up the chart through the psychological, emotional, and then you get to the physical aspects at the top. So what we need to teach and model for the next generation is that when the spiritual, social, psychological, and emotional all line up, then you can enter the physical part of the relationship after marriage. I'm not saying any kind of physical contact or interaction is wrong or sinful, but I think you understand what putting the physical aspects of the relationship at the top really means. And if you look at these two charts, the Hollywood's formula would look something like, you know, boy, that person's really pretty or really handsome, and then you hook up and sleep together, things like that. And then as you move on up to the emotional You learn about likes and dislikes and who they are in the psychological aspect of Hollywood's formula, and then you realize, oh, I don't really like who they are, or we don't really gel well. So then you break up, and then you go find somebody else, and you hook up, and then maybe you make it all the way up to the social aspect of it. You see them with their friends, and you realize, wow, that person is different when they're with their friends. I don't really like who they are with their friends. They seem to change and jump back and forth, and I don't really like that. So then you break up. And then you go and you find somebody else, you know, and you continue to do this cycle over and over again. And then according to a biblical standard, it starts with that solid spiritual health. So you connect, you know, you learn who you are in Christ, you learn about what, you know, God has done for you, you learn about the Holy Spirit's calling on your life and what that means for you. You get to know somebody else on a spiritual level, you know, you hang out and interact, you have God in common, things like that, so you connect spiritually. Then what you can do is not creep on them, but you can watch them interact socially, right? You can observe who they are with their friends, what they look like with their friends, whether they change a lot or they, you know, are living who they claim to be. And then after that, you get to know them and you learn their dislikes, their likes. After that, you discover what makes that person angry, what makes them tick, what they're passionate about. You get to know them at a deeper level. And then after that, if you realize it's the right person, you get married, and then you can enter that the ultimate physical part and be really intimate and things like that. And something I want to point out is to do God's formula or the biblical formula, spiritual, social, psychological, emotional, you're not required to date to do that. Like, these are things that you can do in observing other people and being friends and interacting with them. I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of, well, I like you, let's date. And then, you know, you go through the get-to-know process, you work your way up in a dating relationship. It is possible to do these things and observe and interact and just friendship. And then maybe you decide to date later and things like that. And I know many of us are already married here today, so it may be easy to disregard most of what was talked about. However, if that is you, I'd like you to ask yourself how you're doing at this second chart. How are your relationships built and sustained? What part of this second chart do you need to work on in your relationships? Are you realizing that you're still putting your hopes and dreams in your spouse instead of God? Do you seek out your spouse for your fulfillment? I'd encourage you to sit down with your spouse and talk these things through with them. Have an open conversation of where you're at in that chart. If you're dating, I'd ask where you are in your relationship with that person. What aspects of the biblical chart did you skip? And what aspects do you need to maybe take a step or even steps back and focus on? If you're single, I'd encourage you, as Chip would say, to not do the dating dance, but work through this triangle in your relationships. Don't rush into anything, and don't fall into the trap of Hollywood's formula. It's really easy to do. Make sure you're heavily focused on becoming the right person through imitating God and focusing on your spiritual health. So to wrap things up this morning, relationships are messy, aren't they? Relationships are hard. They can cause a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But at the same time, God has made us to be social beings, and He's made us to desire to have relationships with one another. So let's be people who strive to do relationships the right way, so that we can experience the reward and the blessing, as well as pass on a great legacy to the future generations. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you that you show us a better way to live. Father, I pray that we would be people who imitate you to others. I pray that we would strive to do relationships according to your biblical model that you show us. Jesus, I thank you so much for just how you demonstrate how we walk in love. And so, Jesus, I pray that we would do that. We would not fall into the trap of trying to fall in love with others and have our relationships be built on emotional aspects of who we are. But I ask that we'd be able to really walk in love. Because, God, you said that the world around us would know who you are through our love for one another. So I pray that we would demonstrate that so that the world can see who you are, that they can see how you love us, to see what you did for us. And God, I pray that we'd be able to model well for the next generation what healthy relationships look like so that they grow up understanding what you call us to do in your word and how it is completely different from what our culture and society tries to tell us what it is. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for bringing those you brought here today. I pray that we would be challenged with your words today. And I pray that we would listen to you as you want to maybe show us the different things we skipped or to show us things we need to work on in our relationships. So Holy Spirit, I pray that we would be open to you, we would listen to you, and we would surrender our lives to you so that you can have control over who we are, that you would have control over our relationships. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.